Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40. I just want to declare this morning that God is faithful. And if you seek him, if you ask him to speak to you, you know what happens? He does. God speaks. He speaks to you. And I just want to just declare that today. And I want to encourage you to seek his face, to ask him to speak to you. Get over his word. Say, Lord, I need a word from you, Lord. God, I need to know your voice. And he's faithful. He'll do it. And Lord, I thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that you do reveal truth to us. I thank you, Lord, that you made a way so that the veil can be removed, the barrier is gone. Lord, we can have fellowship with God. And I thank you for that communion, for that abiding place you have made possible for sinners, rebels who, because of our sin, were separated. Lord, you made a way, a new and living way for us. That's what we're celebrating. It's what we should be celebrating every day of the year. And I thank you today, Lord, for revealing yourself to me. I thank you, Lord, that you do speak to me, Lord. You've been faithful to me to guide me in your truth. And Lord, I pray this morning as we look to your word, God, first of all, help me, get me out of the way. Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to anoint this word. I need you to say the things you want to say to your church today. And I trust you to do that, Lord, because you've already confirmed it to me. So give us ears to hear what you're saying, Lord. Help us to take in and to own what you want to say to us today, Lord. Produce what only you could produce in every heart that hears your word today, Lord. So I thank you, God. I trust you to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I really am glad that God knows how to speak to us. As I was praying and asking the Lord, God, what do you want to say to the church? God, what do we need to hear? I'll just say God is faithful, and he really confirmed it for me. It was so clear, no shadow of a doubt. So I know this is a word for us this morning. That's always one of my greatest fears. I think Josh said it one week, that I would say something God didn't want me to say, but I believe he has something to say to us today. And what I'm going to call today's message is prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. And so we're going to look at Isaiah 40. But I want to just talk about, for a second, what we're celebrating. Because when you think about it, what we're celebrating really is all about that, isn't it? It was God sending his own son into the world. He was preparing the way of the Lord. It was a cry to humanity of redemption. That was what I was going to call it originally, a cry of redemption, but I changed my mind. But redemption is an important word. Redemption is the action of saving or being saved from sin or error or evil. It's a reclaiming. And when you think about it, that's what God did. He reclaimed us from the penalty of sin. God's plan was for the redemption of the world. That's why Jesus came. That's what we're celebrating this week. So Isaiah 40 really speaks of this. There's dual things being talked about. He's speaking to his children Israel, but it's also looking forward to a promise. And there's a verse in this chapter that actually John the Baptist quotes. He says, I am a voice crying out in the wilderness, a voice, a cry of redemption. Prepare the way for the Lord. And that's what God has been speaking to his church. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way. Because God, the King of glory, is coming. Hallelujah. So in this chapter, the prophet opens up this subject regarding restoration of God's people, but also it speaks of the church with great forth, with elegance. It's declaring God's command to his messengers, the prophets, excuse me, to comfort his people in captivity. They were actually in captivity, and God is comforting them, and he's saying, I'm going to do something. I'm going to bring you out of your captivity. The church today has been in captivity. We don't realize it, but we have been taken captive by the spirit of this world that has so infiltrated the church. We have lost in many ways our calling to be a light in the world. It's faded, it's dim, like as we were singing that song, it was like, yes, Lord, you need to reignite that fire. You need to restore us to our true calling. And God is saying now, comfort my people. I'm doing it. That's what he's saying here. He's comforting them in verse 1. He says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, for the children of Israel, it was obvious what that was talking about, their captivity, other nations coming in and taking them captive. Now, have we received double? I don't think so. But we have received some judgment. There has been judgment. God has been judging his church, his people. We are under judgment right now. And it really is a mercy from God. And I believe God is about to act. I believe in his wrath, he's remembering mercy because his people have been crying out to him. And so he's saying to us, yes, comfort my people. So God is speaking comfort to those who have been taken captives because of their sins. Our comfort, even though God disciplines, is that he does it because he loves us, okay? Hebrews 12 talks about that, and that really is what God has been doing, and he does it for a reason. He does it so we will be partakers of his holiness. He does it because his desire is to purify his bride. So even though 2020 was a difficult year, it's because God loves us that he's been chastising us. And it's interesting here in Hebrews 12, it starts off really encouraging us. It's talking about faith, and that is what God is doing. He's refining our faith. So after, you know, reading about how others overcame by faith, it says, therefore to us, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us prepare the way of the Lord. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are going to need endurance. How do we do it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it tells us, consider him. And Christmas should be a time to remember, to consider what God has done, what Jesus did for us. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you grow weary in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And then it says these words, have you forgotten? The exhortation which speaks to you as sons, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. And I would just say to you, his bride, don't despise the trials God has allowed this year. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son that he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? In other words, shall we not, as his children, come under what God has allowed into our lives and see that it's our Heavenly Father and that he loves us and that he's wanting to produce something in us? So shouldn't we submit ourselves to it? Instead of wanting to get out of it or getting upset about it, it's because he loves us. He loves his bride. And he's purifying her. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems joyful to present. So I don't know about you, I don't always rejoice in the trials. I would like things to end. I would like for God to already answer and like do what needs to be done, but he keeps waiting because he's still working and he is allowing delay. It's not joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we are in training, people. God is training us during this time. He's trying to help us prepare the way of the Lord. It goes on in verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. And this is what John the Baptist referenced to. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's a picture of monarchs of that day, kings of that day, that were going to go somewhere and they would send forth people to prepare the way. So the chariots, the army, and the king and all his subjects could go on a road to where they're going, but they had to go prepare the way, a highway, a king's highway. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill will be brought low, the crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places smooth. And that is the cry that's going forth right now. God is crying out, prepare ye the way. Raise up the valleys, level out the mountains, smooth out the path. Whatever is crooked, make it straight. Prepare the way, the king is coming. The king is coming. Prepare ye the way. Again, John the Baptist was that voice crying out in the wilderness. His whole purpose in life, his whole calling was to prepare the way for Jesus. His whole purpose was to dispose men's minds or get them ready for the good news that was coming. And it began with repentance. That's what prepare ye the way of the Lord means. Get things in order, get things right, smooth out the crooked things. Prepare ye the way. Make your path straight. And that's how we are to prepare our hearts for the Lord. God is preparing the way for his glory to be revealed. Because in verse 5 it says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And God has spoken in this hour. God is sending revival. God is going to be glorified in the midst of everything that is going on right now in the earth. And he's trying to prepare us for that. And I want to respond. I want God to be revealed in my life. I want God to be glorified through my life in so much of a greater way. And God is preparing a way for his church, for his bride to do that. He is going to be glorified. So lift up your heads. and prepare the way. Psalm 24 talks about this. It says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, those who seek your face. And we need to be a generation that is seeking his face. We need to be like Jacob and cling to him until we get the blessing. And that's one thing I know God has pressed upon my heart. That's why we're praying the way we're praying, because God wants us to pray until he answers. He doesn't want us to grow weary in our praying. He wants us to believe him that we're going to reap in due season if we don't lose heart. And he's been courageous, so we want to be a generation that's seeking his face. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads. I could say it this way. Get your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's how you increase your faith. O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. And he is preparing the way for us, his church, to be a greater light, as we've been praying and singing about today. He is preparing the way. Everything happening right now, again, I believe, is to refine our faith. Do we really believe God can do what we read about? Do we really believe God can do the impossible? I don't know about you, but my faith has been tested. And what I am finding out is the things I thought I had, I didn't. We can all say, oh yeah, I have faith. Oh yeah, I believe God for that. But when it comes down to it, I know for me, I have doubted. There have been times where I just couldn't see it happening because I was looking at the wrong things. I got my eyes on the winds and the waves. I got them off of Jesus. And God's helping me. He's refining my faith. He's teaching me how to stay in faith. And that's simply by keeping my eyes on him and considering who he is. And we're going to see that's what starts happening here in this chapter. Verse 6, it says, the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? Here it is. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are just grass. So what he's doing, he's getting our focus where it needs to be. He's helping us understand who God is and who we are. But the word of God stands forever. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what we see. I don't care what man is planning or plotting. The word of God is what's going to endure. And God is going to accomplish what he has set out to do. The word of God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up in the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. We need to start proclaiming and believing what God has said. We need to get up high. We need to rise above. As Doug Dieter would say, a man I knew years ago, the miasma of this world, the suffocating spirit of this world. We need to rise above that. We need to get out on the mountaintops. We need to start proclaiming the word of God with boldness. Behold your God. This is what they're saying. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Get your eyes on God. Consider who God is. Remember who God is. Behold the Lord God. He will come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. And behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. That's who our God is. We are to point people to the greatness of God. We're to lift him up once again to his rightful place in the church. It goes on in verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighted the mountains in scales and hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him? Who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are but a drop in the bucket. They are counted as small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him as nothing, they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. So the next time you read a headline, or the next time you get discouraged and feel like man is somehow in control and nations are somehow having their way, remember who God is. Remember what they are in the balance of things. So that's what we're being reminded of here. Verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? What likeness will you compare to him? And I do believe God is teaching us the folly of trusting in idols and other things. This is how God, I believe, part of is how he's redeeming his church. He's reclaiming his church because we've trusted in the wrong things. He says about these idols, verse 19, the workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. The silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and he spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes judges of the earth useless. Scarcely they shall be planted. Scarcely they shall be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. That is the reality of trusting in man and trusting in idols. They're nothing before God. With a breath, he blows them away. And that's what's going to happen. People who think they have so much power and so much authority and control, with one breath, God is just going to blow them away. It's coming. It is coming. We're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's coming. God is preparing the way. So lift up your voices on high, verse 26, and see who has created all these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Isn't it cool that God, who created all things, upholds all things by the power of his word, can manipulate the stars and the planets and all that, and that when Jesus was born, there was a star. At least we think it was a star that shone down and led the Magi, the three kings, right? Well, guess what? You know what's going to happen tomorrow? Something that doesn't happen very often. Actually, it's only happened two other times that we know of where it was very much visibly seen. One was like in the 1200s, and the other was, guess when? Right around when Jesus was born. And really what it is, what's going to happen is it's two planets, Saturn and Jupiter, that perfectly line up, and it's going to look like a bright star in the sky. They call it the Christmas star. It's going to happen tomorrow night. So if you want to check that out, check it out. Hopefully it won't be cloudy. Why now? Is God trying to remind us of something? Why is this happening now? Again, I'm not trying to, you know, get too out there, but I just think it's cool. And I think it could remind us, help us remember who our God is, right? I mean, that's what it's doing it for me. So comfort my people, remind them who I am. Look up tomorrow night. God's going to remind you who he is. Remind them who I am. Remind them what I've done. Remind them what I'm still able to do. Why do you say, O Jacob, verse 27, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? That's how we feel, right? God, where are you? God, what's going on? Especially when we're in a difficult situation. Let me tell you something. God sees and God knows. He is very aware. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And if you want a glimpse of that, just read Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is such a picture of that. How God sees, he knows everything. It's knowledge that's like too wonderful for us to understand. And there's a portion in there where it says he saw you when you were formed in your mother's womb. And, you know, I thought about all the babies that have been aborted, murdered in the womb. God saw that. God sees it all. And I can't imagine the things God has, because he sees everything. We get glimpses here and there, and it makes me just want to sit down and just weep over the evil and over all the horrible things that happen. And yet God sees it. He sees it all. He sees it more vividly than we do. And he sees it taking place every second all over the world. But yet, he still remembers us, that we're dust. He remembers our frame. And in his wrath, he remembers mercy. It's amazing to me. Such knowledge is just too wonderful. I can't even attain to it. Who has known the mind of the Lord? He sees, he knows. God is hearing the cry of his people. I keep hearing reports that, and it really started at the beginning of 2020, but now it has grown into such a prayer. It's like the church is getting back to praying, at least the remnant is. But all over the world, prayer has become like the most important thing that believers understand they need to be doing. It's like we're remembering who God is and that he's really the only one that can bring about what's needed and that he taught us to pray. He encouraged us to pray. And so people are praying and God hears the cry that really he has brought about through the trials, through all the things he allowed. So he stirred us. He got us to where we had to turn to him. There was nowhere else to turn. So he is doing it. He's bringing about that cry, and there's going to be a great answer that comes with it. And this is what it's going to be. He is going to revive his people. He's going to do, verse 29, he's going to give power to the weak. Those with no might, he's going to increase strength. Even youths will faint and be weary. Young men will utterly fall. I don't care how strong people think they are. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run. They will not be weary. They will walk, and they will not faint. And I know most of us are weary. Most of us are tired. I think someone said it today. You did. I'm tired. We feel the weight of what's going on. It weighs on us. But in that weightiness, in the trial, in the fire, there is a groaning, right? God, I need something more. God, I know I need something more. God, hear my cry. It's like the people in captivity. God hears the groaning. He sees the oppressor that God has allowed. That's the crazy part. God allowed it. God allowed the oppressor to get us to the place where we'll get our eyes on him and begin to cry out to him. And that's what's happening. That's how he's refining our faith, because faith can only be in him, nothing else. So he's had to help us with that, especially the church. He's reclaiming his bride. He's reclaiming you for himself. There's a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. Every valley will be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh are going to see it. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but this is like so real to me right now. Because I know that I know this is what God's doing. He made it so clear to me. He's not a God who leads us on and encourages us to believe him to only let us down. He's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. Will many miss out? Yeah, because they're not turning to him. You have to prepare the way. People had to respond to John the Baptist. You note who didn't respond, right? It was the religious people. They actually despised him and wound up killing him. Well, the king did. But the people that understood, we can't go on anymore. And if the king is coming, if the Messiah is coming, we got to get ourselves ready. And they responded. And I want to encourage you. Respond. Just prepare the way. Whatever needs to be repented of, get before God. It's time to put it away. Whatever is weighing you down, get rid of it. Whatever you've been trusting in, whatever idolatry you've allowed in your life, get rid of it. Cast them to the bats. Get your eyes on Jesus and start believing him for the impossible. Again, God confirmed these three verses to me in such a powerful way this morning. It was unbelievable. It was undeniable that it was God, that he is crying out. He's telling us to prepare the way. There's some things we got to do that. But the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed to those that are preparing the way. I'm just telling you. So, just like John the Baptist was a voice crying out in the wilderness, he is calling us. We are going to be that voice in the near future, unlike the world has seen in a long time, because it's going to be God working through his people. And God wants you to believe him for that. And he's not looking for superstars. He's not looking for super religious people. He's looking for humble people. He's looking for people that are just simply acknowledging their need for him, that are just simply asking. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I want to comfort you with these words. God wants to comfort you with these words. He's going to do it. That handout I gave you last week, if there's any here that didn't get it, it's still in the back there, and it talks about a heart that God can revive. And it's just a way that God can help us get in that rightful place where he's God, we're who we are, and we acknowledge that, and we simply just look to him as never before, and we start really believing him, that he's able to do above and beyond what we can imagine. I'm believing him for that. So I just want to encourage you with that this morning. And I guess just leave you with a question as we close this morning to ask yourself, am I preparing the way for the Lord? And get over this chapter. Ask God to maybe show you the crooked ways that need to be straightened. Ask him to show you the rough places. Ask him to show you the valleys and the mountains that need to be leveled. And it's what Hebrews 12 talks about. It's the sin that so easily ensnares us, and it's the cares of this life. It's allowing the cares of this life to bog us down. So I just want to encourage you, do that, and then fix your eyes on Jesus and watch what he does. And I think it's going to be soon. That's the sense I'm getting. So, Lord, I thank you this morning. You're speaking so clearly, Lord, and I don't have to understand what it looks like, how it's going to work out. But, Lord, I can understand that you want a bride, a church that glorifies you in the earth, Lord. And I do understand you've been purifying your bride. You are preparing the way, Lord, for the King of Glory to come in. God, and I pray you'll just continue to give us ears to hear. Lord, I pray you'll continue to help all of us to get rid of the distractions, to get over your word, to believe that you'll speak to us in that quiet place, that we'll seek you like Jacob, Lord. We won't let go until the blessing comes. And Lord, I understand, we understand, it's not about us, Lord. It's not. It's about what you want to do to those you send us to, Lord. They don't need what the church has offered in the past. They need a fresh sight of the cross. They need the power of the Holy Spirit to do what only you can do, Lord. And you need a revived people to do that. You need a people that have prepared the way, that have allowed you, God, to prepare their vessels so that your glory can be revealed in them and through them. So God, I thank you this morning. And Lord, I believe you. I can think about people in this body, different ones, Lord, and I'm believing for them. I'm believing for the church on a whole, Lord. So many in this country, even around the world, that are crying out to you in this way. Lord, and I thank you. You hear our cry. You're going to answer, Lord. You're going to move mountains. You're going to do what only you can do. And all flesh is going to glorify God. We're going to know it was you, God. It's going to be undeniable, Lord. And you alone are going to be glorified. You alone are going to be lifted up. And people are going to be drawn to you. That's what we want, Lord. People drawn to you, Lord. And we're believing for that great harvest, Lord. And that you're going to use us however you want to use us, Lord. So God, help us to prepare the way of the Lord. Help us to look up, hallelujah, for the King of Glory is coming. So I thank you today, Lord. And I pray, God, as we leave from here today, we would just continue to trust you to do what only you can do, Lord. I love you, God, and I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing another song before we close, but I just want to put out there, if you need prayer today, you know, sometimes we just need someone to come alongside and pray with us. And we want to do that for you. I don't want to rush out of here. I want to make sure if someone needs to come up here, God's been speaking to you. You're like, you know what? I just want to publicly respond to the Lord. I want to make sure that I'm preparing the way. And we'll pray with you. We're going to believe God. He's going to help you with whatever it is to help you do that. And then obviously we want to walk alongside of you and help you to do that, because we're all in this together, aren't we? Okay, and I want you to look around. We got some new people that are joining us back in the back there. Josiah, I'm sorry, I forgot your wife's name. Erica, Josiah and Erica. And how many kids you got? Seven, eight coming? Okay, yeah. So they just moved here. We got Cindy and Jeff. And Justin, where's Justin? Where'd he go? Katrina, it's good to see you guys, dear friends. Any others? I'm sorry, I forgot your guys' names. Larry and Pam from Long Island. Yeah, they actually know my old pastor. And then Molly and her kids, she's been here for a while. So let's reach out. And we got Tara and her daughter. I'm sorry, what's your daughter's name? Michelle. And Mike, he's not here today. He's probably working, right? Yeah. And who's the little guy? Huh? Mitchell. All right. Let's be mindful, okay? Let's say hi. Let's introduce ourselves and... It's all about being a family, right? And encouraging one another. And that's God's encouraging us. So I'm excited about what God is doing. So again, we're going to sing a song. Anyone wants to come up here and you need prayer, just come up. There's people that will pray with you, okay? And let's just finish by worshiping him.